Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Mako Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MKO, and on the OTCQX under the symbol MAKOF. We are chatting again with the president and CEO, Akiba Leisman. Now, just as a reminder, Mako Mining operates the high-grade San Albino open-pit gold mine. This is in Nicaragua. The company just recently actually announced that they are celebrating the one-year anniversary of declaring commercial production at this asset. Now, Akiba, we're going to start on the production aspect because within that news release, there's a lot of different aspects that we will cover here and ask you a couple questions on. But early on, look, we covered this story when this mine was getting up and running, and there were a couple startup issues that the company took care of in a pretty timely fashion. And now the company has been really hitting a lot of the targets when it comes to production estimates and forecasts. Take us through this last 12 months. Give us a couple highlights in your eyes in terms of getting this asset up and running and now producing at, again, what you guys have been forecasting.
Sure. And thanks for that. And we've always taken a phased approach on how we were going to be developing the San Albino plant and mine over time. So initially, we scoped out the original project at 500 tons per day. And then once we got all the kinks out of the system and made sure that we had enough sustainable resource, we were going to be making the decision to go and expand the operations to 1,000 tons a day, likely next year. We're actually fully permitted to expand the plant to above 1,000 tons a day as it stands right now. And you're right, is that when we first started up this operation, we were effectively finished with our primary CapEx at the end of March 2021. And it took us a couple months to kind of iron out some significant teething issues before we were actually in cash flow, which started in June of last year, so 2021. And then we declared commercial production on July 1st of 2021. So this press release, this update that we put out was really there, as you said, to celebrate all the achievements that we've made over the course of the last year since declaring commercial production, inclusive of some of the items that we still need to de-bottleneck associated with the plant. Now, some of those, we have been operating at above nameplate capacity, inclusive of any availability factors of 500 tons per day, really starting December of last year. So there's a lot of things over the plant that needed to be de-bottlenecked. And then there was a few things associated with just employee training that needed to happen. But over the course of the 4 months of commercial production that it took to get there, the plant has actually been operating at probably close to 10% above nameplate capacity since that time. The mine has been excellent, really, from the start. We started mining the ore-grade material from San Albino about 10 months prior to turning on the operation. So really, mining goes back all the way since the first half of 2020, when we started to mine the high-grade part of this deposit. And we couldn't be happier with how the grade reconciliation has occurred since we restated the resource in 2020. So we put in this press release that over the course of the last 12 months, our reconciliation has been plus 10.5% in terms of gold ounces. And this is an important point because we actually got some criticisms coming from people in the peanut gallery over here, is that when we developed that resource, we had it in three separate categories, measured, indicated, and inferred. And then people were saying, whoa, you have an inferred resource over here. Oh my goodness, that means it's not, we don't know if that gold ounces, those gold ounces exist or not. The truth of the matter is that when we developed that resource, every single ounce that we put into it, whether it was measured, indicated, and inferred, all had a very well thought out mine plan that was there for eventual extraction. So since we started mining, and over the course of the last 12 months, 28% of the ounces that have been extracted have been from areas that we classified as inferred in that resource. Our inferred resource is just different than what a normal junior mining company would classify as inferred resources over here. We had the expectation that 100% of all of the gold in our, and regardless of the category, was going to be coming out in an effective economic mine plan, and it has to date. So we couldn't be prouder of the team that developed that resource, the geological model, and our outside consultants over at Mind Development Associates who helped us put that together in 2020. It bodes well not only for what we're mining right now, but also in terms of applying those geological models to other parts of the deposit and eventually grow the resource to an order of magnitude or beyond what we have right now. So that was a very important thing. Now, some of the things that we still need to debottleneck over at the plant is our metallurgy. It was something that we spent a lot of time looking at over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. 2016, we established a $1.5 million metallurgical program with a predecessor company. We actually forced them to do that. And a lot of very, very good data came out of that that MET program. But one of the things that was an absolute requirement of running the operations was that if you were going to be making a slurry of this ore grade material, the first time that that slurry sees free cyanide, so into the system, needs to be when there is carbon in the carbon in leach tanks. And by that, what I mean is that if you actually start mixing up the slurry with cyanide prior to it going into the leach tanks, you can have an element of our ore body that is what is called preg rock. So some of that that carbon can wind up interfering with the gold extraction process. Now, over the course of the last 3 or 4 months, we've now been processing almost exclusively this carbonaceous material. Some of it is problematic, some of it is not. But really, at the beginning of Q2, we were not destroying the cyanide to levels that we needed to do in order to run this this mill optimally. So we've established a few different cyanide detoxification protocols to make sure that we were getting our cyanide levels down. And then really, we've been killing the cyanide to the levels that we needed to be really since the middle of June. And as you can see in the press release, that was when we made the decision that while all of these metallurgical issues were happening on the side, we intentionally deferred a lot of the high-grade mineralization until the second half of the month of June. And then really since June 16th, we've been putting into the mill in excess of 10 gram material. So it's one of the things about our mine is that we do have the flexibility that that if we need to defer some of those ounces, we're capable of doing it. So when all is said and done, we actually produced a similar amount of gold that we have over the course of the last couple quarters, just over 9,000 ounces of gold were sold for the quarter. But for all of the improvements that we need to make to the plant, to automate our cyanide detoxification process, and then even add a couple of very, very minor pieces of kit to the plant, we expect that to take really the remainder of Q3 in order to fully establish those protocols and procedures. And then the mill can be handling this carbonaceous material as designed and getting recoveries well into to the 80% range when all is said and done.
Well, Akiba, that's a lot to unpack there, but hats off to your team for, you know, making it 1 year into this and continuing to push forward. Almost every mine that's ever come into production has a few teething issues to work out, but you guys got off the mat and got escape velocity and started producing revenues and started producing gold. And for people listening, even if they're not a mining engineer or someone that understands the mining business, let's say on the production side, it sounds like you're aware of what issues as far as helping the grade improve or going after that higher grade once you debottleneck some of the detoxification circuits. But just in simple terms, for people that maybe don't understand the whole process, what are the key takeaways you want people to understand about how the production will grow, not just on your throughput and, you know, expanding the mill eventually, but just on the metal recoveries, on the grade, and how the mining sequence will move moving forward? What are the main takeaways you want people to focus on as you continue to grow this mine?
On the expansion side, what we're going to be doing in order to expand our operations from 500 tons to 1,000 tons a day is basically do what we did on our 500 tons per day. We have a second mill. Each mill is rated at 500 tons per day. We currently have 5 leach tanks, these CIL tanks. We have the foundations to build another 5. So you're basically going to build an identical circuit to what we have right now. So the plant itself is going to be a carbon copy, at least on the back end of the plant, to what we have right now, very limited capex in order for us to expand. And really what we're waiting for to make that decision is actually not so much on the plant sizing, engineering, equipment, capex, and things that go with it. It's really to have enough resource so that we can sustainably mine at 1,000 tons a day really for as far as the eye can see. And that we are getting very, very close to being able to establish a mineable resource at other parts of our mining property in order for us to feed this mill at 1,000 tons a day, such that we are getting a lot more comfortable that we're going to be able to make that decision sometime this calendar year for eventual expansion for next calendar year. Additionally, I guess I can put my my chemical engineering degree to good use over here, even though we have a lot more skilled metallurgists and engineers who are actually on the ground kind of fixing a lot of these problems. But basically, what winds up happening over here is that what a normal recovery process is when you dissolve gold into cyanide, it makes this orocyanide solution, that is an oxidation reaction. So you go back to high school chemistry over there. And in order for you to extract the gold, you need to do the opposite, to have a reduction reaction. And that occurs by introducing carbon to the circuit. So when you hear mining companies talk about a CIP, a carbon in pulp, or a CIL, like we have a carbon in leach, the carbon that they're referring to are these naturally occurring charcoal coconut shells, oddly enough, that happen to have the perfect pore distribution that really helps that reducing reaction occur in order for the gold to be extracted out of that cyanide, which then be stripped and put into the circuit itself. Now, we recycle all of our water. We don't discharge our water into streams or rivers or things of the sort. So everything is recycled. We have a zero discharge facility. So all of the water that we used is being recycled. Now, we also have a lot of native carbon in our ore. So the same type of carbon that could potentially be used as this reducing reaction can be present in the ore material itself, albeit its distribution of pores are very different than the pores that we have over in our leach tanks. So when we put that recycled water into our system, we have to make sure that there's no cyanide in it. So the standard chemistry that you use in order to kill free cyanide that's floating around in the system is usually, it's also another oxidizing reaction. So you can do this a couple of ways. There's a lot of companies that use what's called the INCO SO2 process, which winds up adding both sulfur dioxide and oxygen into the system. And then in order to actually catalyze that reaction, you do need to put some copper into the system through the addition of some copper sulfates. Now, when we were running that reaction, there were a few things that were just unreliable with it. So we had to make a decision to change the detox chemistry over at our plant. And we decided to detox the cyanide going back through the recycled water using sodium hypochlorite, which is basically the same thing that you find in Clorox and in common bleach, which is a very, very effective way of detoxing the cyanide into your system. Now, there's a few things that you have to be careful with when you're applying a large amount of bleach. And likewise, we had to go through the logistics process of ordering a lot of basically Clorox to be delivered to site, which took some time in order for us to establish it. But in doing that, it's a very similar chemistry process, which winds up killing this free cyanide and turns it into a cyanate, which does not react with the gold. So the first time that you see heavy concentrations of that cyanide are going to be in those leach tanks when you actually see that those coconut shell carbons also present in that system, which helps recover the gold. So first thing, we need to fix the metallurgy over there, and we're a long ways away to do that. There's a few things that we need to automate on the system to make sure that everything's being handled correctly. And then there's a few pieces of kit that we need to add over this quarter.
So Akiba, what about the rest of this calendar year in terms of forecast, production forecasts, and also general grade forecasts? You mentioned that you pushed back some of the high grade ore that is now being run through the plant. Where do we stand? What are some of the forecasts for this year? What kind of grades are you expecting?
Well, we don't give formal forecasts. One of the things that we did is that we accelerated the development of this project without having a feasibility study. So a lot of the things that we're doing is trying to optimize that with the data that we have on site right now. So we cannot give formal guidance on terms of where we are. That being said, the last three quarters, we've been averaging in the low to mid 9,000 ounces of gold production. And even in this last quarter, where we're having some of these metallurgical issues that we're on the cusp of resolving right now, we still sold just in excess of 9,000 ounces. So we were down from 9,500 to just over 9,000. So just a few single digit percentages off. That being said, we should be at over 10,000 ounces per quarter if all of the metallurgy was being run as designed. And we are very comfortable that we'll be able to get there towards the end of Q3. In terms of grades and head grades, I don't expect there to be major, there's obviously going to be grade variability depending where we are on the mine, but I don't expect there to be major deviations in terms of the average head grade that's been going to the mill since we started up, which has been just under 8 grams a ton since we started. We do a good job of blending our diluted vein material. So it's the high grade vein as well as a little bit of mining dilution on either side, which has been averaging 16 grams a ton over the course of the last 12 months. It's truly extraordinary what's coming out of the mine in terms of these high grade veins, especially for an open pit deposit like we have. And then that gets blended with historical dump material, segregated hanging wall and footwall material. And this becomes important even from a metallurgical perspective. And then we blend those together, then we'll get an average head grade going into the plant of somewhere between 7.5 and 8 grams a ton. And then based on the throughput that we're producing right now, having a target of close to 10,000 ounces a quarter is something reasonable for what the 500 ton per day scale is. Now, going back to that 10 gram point that you had before, is that we have a lot of flexibility on how we can manage the head grades to the plant, right? So we're mining selectively this diluted vein material that's been averaging 16 gram material, and then we can blend it with some hanging wall and footwall material, historical dump material, to make sure that we have a pretty stable head grade throughout. Now, when we were having some of the metallurgical challenges earlier in the quarter, we made the decision is that if before we fully understand all of the metallurgical challenges that we have, let's not put the best material through this plant. Let's defer that to the end of the quarter. And then once we actually started our sodium hypochlorite detoxification procedures, once we were comfortable with that, we would add the high grade back to the mill. Now, we were comfortable of putting that high grade back at the end of June, not because a lot of things happen at the plant. There still are a few pieces of designs that we need to implement over the course of the next quarter. But we also implemented very, very robust testing procedures in place. So we know exactly what material is problematic and what material is not. And we are very fortunate that the high grade vein material is perfectly fine. It goes through the system great. It recovers fantastic. Where we get some of the issues are on that hanging wall and footwall side, where some of that preg robbing issues on either side of that vein can present itself to be a challenge. Now, we are very, very fortunate to have very skilled mining engineers on site and grade control specialists on site that we're able to limit our mining dilution to less than 30 centimeters on either side of the vein. Now, that helps both in terms of being able to deliver consistent high grade to the mill, but it also becomes important metallurgically, is that we're able to separate some of that problematic hanging wall and footwall material, stockpile it off to the side, and then only process the good stuff. And you can see that right at the end of June. He said, all right, let's start processing the high grade. We're comfortable that the detox is happening through our sodium hypochlorite. Let's see what goes through. We've done our robust testing in terms of what's preg robbing, what's not. Let's run it through. And lo and behold, that high grade vein stuff was recovering just fine. It's some of that hanging wall and footwall that we need to be a little bit careful with.
Well, Akiba, it sounds like you at least know where the bottlenecks are. You know where the grade, where the grade will be coming from as you increase things, and you saved the good stuff until you had it worked out. So it makes a lot of sense logically that now you're starting to feed that higher grade material through and still blending it. One more question though, just on the exploration front, on that side of the company, there's a lot of growth with Mako with the drill bit. You're drilling in a lot of different areas. We don't really have time to dive into all of it today, but I wanted to reference the news you put out on June 21st that you intersected 42.91 grams per ton gold and 38.3 grams per ton silver over 4 meters in a new zone. And that was from surface. And so those are really high grades for gold. Again, a lot higher than the grades we were just discussing. So just walk us through the importance of this recent exploration and some of those results you just put out.
Yeah, that was in the area of our San Albino pit. So actually very close to the mine that we're mining right now, probably about less than 200 meters from our current mining operations. Now, Back in 2015, when this was a predecessor company called Golden Rain, they had at one point a 900,000 ounce in all category resource that had a lot of geological flaws associated with how that resource was calculated at the time. But it did include various parts of resource from the areas that were mining that we called the West Pit and the Central Pit, and then a very small area called the Southwest Pit. Now, when we were going through the resource model at the time, we did not have in our minds, this is going back to 2020 when that resource estimate redo came out, we were not comfortable with the level of geological continuity to make a call that the model was holding together back in 2020. So we effectively eliminated everything in the Southwest pit. We actually took that resource down to about 400 ounces in total. It was from a very shallow 10-meter deep pit, if that, 50 meters by 50 meters from surface area that extracted potential extraction of 400 ounces, and that was it. That being said, we kind of knew that the mineralization that was put out in that original 900,000-ounce resource, a lot of that was still there. It just needed to be infill drilled. So over the course of a couple of years, from 2020 to earlier this year, we were poking some holes, and we were finding good hits on the Southwest Pit. We can go back into the press release that we put out over those couple of years, and we really got a handle on the geological model from that point in time. And then we were kind of like vectoring in on where the good stuff was going and where it was pointing towards. And the more that we looked at it and we were looking back and forth over here, it looked like it was going straight under our mining contractor's workshop, like where he has his trucks for repair and things of the sort. So we were drilling a hole down, and I was joking with the geologist on site and said, looks like the mineralization is going to vector straight under our mining contractor's porta potty. So lo and behold, 35 meters, literally directly under the guy's mobile toilet, we wound up hitting this beautiful, beautiful high grade vein of this 4 meter, well in excess of an ounce and a half material that's going to be open pittable. And it really holds together with our new model. And now what we're trying to do is that there has been very, very little drilling, ironically, up dip to where this is. So we hit this hole only about 30, 35 meters from surface. But you can actually start plotting where this mineralization is going up dip, things that are going to be even shallower than 30 or 35 meters. The data is wide, wide open. And it even looks like this mineralization is starting to shallow out a bit. So when you're dealing with something up dip with really shallow mineralization that starts effectively at 30, 35 meters from surface, that gives you a lot of space for this to grow in an open pittable fashion. So we're following up on those holes right now. There will be additional ones released. I can say right now, the Southwest Pit is going to have a hell of a lot more than 400 ounces of resource when we do this resource update by early next year. And this is going to be the third pit, the third mining area within the San Albino zone that we're going to open up for eventual growth in and around the mine. That being said, right now we only have, I think, two of our seven rigs that are focused on the Southwest Pit area. We have another four that are down over at Las Conchitas. We've already announced a new discovery over at Las Conchitas near surface. It effectively outcrops. Clearly, there's going to be mineralization and an eventual resource bigger than what we have right now over at San Albino. And for the first time ever, we have a drill rig on some of our regional targets, initially over at Puerto Rios. And we're very confident that we're going to be announcing another material discovery at one of our regional targets this calendar year. So I tell your listeners, just wait. This, what you've seen so far is really but the start of what we're trying to do. And we have a mine that's incredibly profitable and able to self-fund a $17.2 million exploration program that has already led to discoveries that we've announced in the market this calendar year.
Yeah, and there's another point that you made in the recent news is that the company hasn't raised money in over 2 years. So kudos to you for now being in production for a full year and having all this exploration ongoing. So Akiba, keep us up to date on future news. If anybody has any follow-up questions for any aspect of the company, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. Akiba, thanks again for your time. Please keep us up to date on future news.
All right, great. Appreciate it, guys.